Mike, and welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the autumn leaf of free speech. It used to be green, and it's changing colors. It's kind of a golden brown now, and it's floating ever so gracefully to the ground. And if you can appreciate that, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button. Follow the instructions for sending badly needed fundage, because that leaf can grow back, and we can grow back our free speech. Okay, today is Friday. I have with me Paul Stevenson from across the pond. Paul, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Patrick, as ever. The last show we did was I was on the road going to France, I believe.
That's right. It was pretty good connection until the very, very end, but that it still worked out just fine. I don't know if anybody even knows. Yeah.
But yeah, also just on your intro, eloquent as it was, somewhat ambivalent about falling leaves at this time of year, because those brown leaves, they basically take up and occupy most of my day, putting them in bags.
Yeah.
In massive gardens.
I should have been putting them in bags yesterday and getting them out. But anyway, I get my share of brown leaves too. But anyway, it's just the way it goes.
Well, they keep me in work, so I shouldn't complain about them.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, we still have beautiful autumn days, without massive nuclear fallout. I don't know how long that's going to last. This past week, I've been talking mostly about, Tulsi Gabbard, because she used to be my girlfriend. I guess she still is. Oh, actually, she certainly is. She's gotten back together with me. And then, also, Kanye West, who, I've gotten David Duke to actually say Kanye 2 out of 3 times. Sometimes he reverts to Kane or the in-between Conway. But, anyway, that's all exciting. It's all exciting, but really still the most important thing that's going on in the world is what's going on in Ukraine. And, so I haven't talked about it much this week. What's been going on?
Well, I think you're seeing the end game of, particularly in the United States, of a century of Jewish raping and pillaging and sucking on the American people and the American country. And their looting is near an end. The debt is through the roof. They're not going to get control of inflation. And people are starting to walk into their homes and realize they've been ransacked. And they're going to start asking questions. So the international Jew, I believe, is in the last throes of desperation and may well do whatever it takes to hold on to power regardless of the human casualties. So that's where we're at, I believe, and most of all they've been confronted by Vladimir Putin, who is obviously demonized as the most evil man in the world, and half of the morons in the West, if not more, believe this nonsense because mm-hmm. they are ignorant and don't know what the hell's going on. So
there is a massive vulnerability. I mean, I've been feeling this for the past few years. I was saying that the Jeffrey Epstein case had the potential to bring down the whole house of cards, and it really kind of is a house of cards. I think Jewish power is very illusionary. It really depends on our own self-censorship and our own compliance, which aren't guaranteed. They've been forthcoming, but they're not guaranteed. And we actually don't have a gun up to our heads. And, I thought the Jeffrey Epstein thing could have that potential, because it could attract people's attention because of the whole, young girl, glamorous young girls and the this and that. And there's like a sex aspect. So it'd get people's attention. And then at some point they'd say, oh, but, yeah, what's that business about, controlling our politicians? Why do they have to, you know, have blackmail evidence against our politicians? What was that all about? But it never happened. And part of the reason it didn't work out that way was you got these string of mega hoaxes. The coronavirus, which, you know, started in January 2020. You had the Black Lives Matter racial injustice hoax. You had the fake election and, you know, the fake insurrection. And now you've got this massive war, the fake Vladimir Putin is trying to restore the Soviet Union. And it's just been one thing after another. And it is vulnerable. And now things are starting to come together. So you've got, the stuff that's going on with Kanye is interesting because, he's talking about Jewish power all of a sudden. And his close cohort, Candace Owens, who he's been, who he appeared together with, this whole thing with Kanye got kicked off when he and Candace Owens showed up at a Paris fashion show wearing White Lives Matter shirts. Mm. She just, premiered a new documentary about Black Lives Matter, calling it a giant scam and a hoax. Mm. And, you know, and he was there. And doubling down on his comments about Jews, you've got all this stuff going on. At some point, you've got people like Paul Gosar, some of the more principled Trump Republicans, MAGA Republicans, who have the potential to link together, who are opposing the Ukraine war, and also have been outspoken about the fake election. And you've got the possibility for a lot of these hoaxes just getting tied together. And of course, lastly, we've got the midterm elections, very important elections coming up in less than 4 weeks. So I think a lot of things could happen. We typically get an October surprise. I don't know what that surprise is going to be, but I do think it's vulnerable. So I'm sending it back to you, Paul. What do you make of all this?
Well, I think that's a great point.
Am I wishful thinking? Is it just wishful thinking?
No. It's a great point that it is an illusionary power. And everything that you mentioned there, all those hoaxes, they are building blocks of a Jewish dam, or even cement and desperate attempts to cover up cracks that they already know are there. And by the way, they know that their power is illusionary. They know their history. And I wish people would be more cognizant of Jewish history in Europe, because there's nothing new in any of this. The only thing that's new is that they've acquired unprecedented power in the United States. Because I was contemplating this the other day when I listened to Alex Jones arguing with David Duke, partly because America's a new nation, and it's a young nation, and it has been detached from its European history and its ancestry, which was, you know, because it was created as a European by, you know, Northern Europeans. So they know it, but the American people don't. And a lot of, you know, the secularization of Europe, which again is aberrant in the history of Europe. That doesn't mean I support everything great about, religion and the abominations of the Catholic Church and periods in the Dark Ages, for example, in Europe. But this has been lost, but it's not lost on the Jew. They never forget anything. And to some extent, yes, their power is definitely illusionary. And that's why they're so aggressive and so desperate all the time. Because you have people like Candace Owens and Kanye West, and these are cracks in the dam. And they're significant little cracks as well. And so this is what the Jew fears, and because he knows that dam will burst at some point. And I've really enjoyed seeing. Okay, they haven't identified the international Jew as the kind of the engine of what people describe, like Jones would describe, as a new world order or United States hegemony or the neocons, which are all euphemisms, as we discussed before, for Jewish power. But yeah, you know, these people are desperate, and they know that they've committed a massive looting operation, are destroying our culture, destroying our people as white people. I mean, these Candice Owen and Tulsi Gabbard have talked about anti-white racism, which is true. I don't believe that this comes from anybody else except Jews who hate white Europeans. You're also seeing attacks on Christians. The DOJ, Merrick Garland authorizing, you know, the FBI to go in and arrest Trump supporters, to arrest Christians against abortion and this type of thing. It's so over the top. It's so aggressive. Eventually, eyebrows get raised. And, you know, things can accelerate, you know, if you go back to the analogy of the dam, you know, the cracks start and then they, you know, they continue and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, and I hope I'm alive to see it, but they also, you know, they're not going to go down without a fight. And this is what I fear, because rather than being identified, I fear that they could just, and they are escalating the situation in Russia, rather than those attacks on Kiev. After, you know, retaliation for the Nord Stream and the Crimean Bridge, they're still doubling down. And this is what scares me. Will Vladimir Putin use nuclear weapons? I don't know. According to Douglas McGregor, he thinks not, which is kind of reassuring. Yeah. But then you have Zelensky. You know, and I was glad to see Tucker Carlson speaking for probably what many of us are thinking. He's like, screw you. I mean, we don't owe you anything. Vladimir Zelensky, I mean, these people in Ukraine, they're so odious. Even some girlfriend of some Ukrainian general said to, what's his name, Elon Musk, your job is to supply whatever that sky thing he's supplying and shut the F up. I mean, who do these people think they are? You know, they're not even a member of NATO. Little scumbags, you know?
No, they're not a member of NATO. And the thing about, there's a few things about NATO. One is, you know, it's supposed to be a mutual security alliance. But, you know, and NATO should be disbanded. It should have been disbanded in 1990 when the Warsaw Pact was disbanded. Should have, I don't know, whatever. But the thing is that when you draw in these Eastern European countries like Lithuania, that where a lot of people, where the people who run the government have this grudge against Russia, potential border issues. Georgia has an active border dispute with Russia. Ukraine obviously does. Bringing in countries that have active disputes or long-time grudges against the against the country that the adversary that is posited for that alliance, that doesn't make you more secure. I mean, how does Georgia or Lithuania or even Ukraine with this big army, really, how does that make us more secure? It makes us more vulnerable, because these countries can start off something that's then going to potentially trigger Article 5 and get us all dragged into a massive nuclear war. They don't add anything to the table. How has it increased anybody's, like, NATO security, no matter what you want to, how you want to conceptualize it, how has it increased anybody's security to have shipped, $100 billion plus of weaponry to Ukraine, which then just gets used as target practice by the Russians? How has that increased anybody's security? Do you feel more secure now?
Well, of course not. Again, we have Liz Truss with these assertions and these assumptions, these unchallenged assertions that we must stand by Ukraine. In this country, we've had no debate about it. We've had no explanation about it. We've had no cool heads or adults in the room in the British Parliament saying, wait a minute, how is this increasing our national security, provoking a nation which holds the biggest nuclear armaments in the entire world? I mean, these are obvious elephants in the room, but we're dealing with people who have an agenda. We're dealing with people who are controlled. We're dealing with corrupt people, and the brakes aren't going on. And I mean, I hope Douglas McGregor is right that Putin is not going to use nuclear weapons, and he should shut up. But you know, I do believe that if Russia feels absolutely under threat, I'm sorry, those weapons are going to be used. And I live in London, and Putin knows it. And I think already Medvedev has said London that it would be one of the number one targets. So I've got a, you know, I live in London myself. My son and his mother lives in London. I've got friends in London. So it doesn't make me feel that secure, Patrick, this kind of rhetoric.
Well, okay, I'll tell you, let me break down the rhetoric some. So you've got, there's two issues here. You've got longstanding nuclear doctrine, which is published. You know, that part of the reason for having a nuclear doctrine is to clarify things. And the United States and Russia both have these doctrines on the use of nuclear weapons under certain circumstances, which are spelled out. And for both countries, there's a if they are subject to a nuclear strike, they're going to retaliate. That's obvious. In Russia's doctrine, which was clarified recently, I believe, was it in one of Putin's speeches, or was it by Lavrov or Medvedev? I can't remember, but it was clarified. It's public. If their government or their territorial integrity, or I guess, you know, their government is at stake, or of, you know, one of their alliance partners, they would use it. Now, the what's been talked about, though, over the past 7 or 8 months hasn't been this kind of nuclear strike, which, you know, this nuclear doctrine, this is talking about like civilization ending World War III type of strike, right? That's what these doctrines focus on. What's been talked about is the use of so-called tactical nuclear weapons on the battlefield in Ukraine. And there's never been any indication that Russia was going to do this. Russians have never hinted that they were going to use tactical nuclear weapons on the battlefield. And there's really no logic that would justify it. Why would they need to? They're perfectly capable of winning the day without tactical nuclear weapons. Tactical nuclear weapons would be the last thing they'd want, because remember, this war ultimately isn't about defeating Russia on the battlefields of Ukraine. This war was launched in order to create a pretext for crippling economic sanctions. And that might have been a possibility. It might have worked. Maybe it would have worked 5 years ago had it been tried during the Hillary Clinton administration, which Victoria Nuland was almost sure to be the Secretary of State for. It might have worked back then. But Russia sanction-proofed itself, or tried to. It developed a strong relationship with China, which indicated from the get-go that it wasn't going to participate in these crippling sanctions. And then, of course, when India and Turkey and all these other countries of
Africa,
and Africa and, well, Brazil.
Well, if I could just say one thing, you mentioned grudges earlier by these, you know, ex-communist countries in the Eastern European bloc and things like that. But the problem is for the United States is that there's a lot more grudges around the world towards them. And you're seeing those playing out in Africa, in India, in China. They're not playing ball. So Putin, you know, he knew what he was doing in preparing for this.
Well, in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Couldn't no longer stand it, blood began to boil. Temper I was new as impure, all there in Zile. They began abusing Karami, so well since I'm a shillelagh, I let fly. Galway boys were by, and I was a hobbling will below it. Hooray, the giant in the affray, quickly clear the way for the rocky road. It's a double and one, two, three, four, five. Hunt a hare and turn her down
in the Africa, rocky road. India, in China, they're not playing ball. So Putin, you know, he knew what he was doing in preparing for this. There's a hell of a lot of resentment towards the Jewish Western establishment for what they've done around the world. So, and also one more point I'd like to make is I find it very interesting and laughable that on one hand you have the media, again, dominated by Jews, telling us that the Russians are weak. And the Ukrainians are standing strong and the Russians aren't very well prepared and they're having to, you know, go in and basically, you know, steal kids out of their homes and students to get them to go and fight. They're so desperate. But at the same time, Russia is apparently a genuine threat to expand the ex-USSR and Putin's going to take over the whole of Europe. I don't know how these two things work. I mean, how can a really weak army that is so desperate and is defeated by these Ukrainians, then expand an empire? I don't really know how that works, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There is an awful lot of gaslighting. So an awful lot of what gets said about Russia is just blatantly false. But the Jewish media has gotten away with so many blatantly false things historically, but, you know, the past few years in this decade of hoaxes that we entered into in January 2020, So there's that. But just getting back to the tactical nuclear weapons, there's never been there's no logic by which Russia would need to use these. And you know, you're correct. Everything is like Putin is he's got his back against the wall. You look at Yahoo News, for instance, which I see. You know, when I open up my computer, I get Yahoo News or MSN News, and it's always, well, the annexation of these provinces actually is a sign of weakness. Russia, you know, launching whatever they're doing, actually, it's a sign of desperation. It's a sign of weakness. And, you know, I don't know how many people actually crossed the borders last month in order to avoid the mobilization. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some. I mean, I crossed the borders into Canada during the 70s in order to prepare for a, you know, I wasn't quite old enough to dodge the Vietnam War draft, but I was determined I was going to dodge the next war's draft. Why not? But, you know, so there probably was some, but the fact of the matter is that this military action has massive support in Russia. And if anything, Putin, to the extent he's criticized, it's more for being restrained rather than for being reckless.
Yeah, because the Russians apparently, you know, if we believe that side, and I have no reason to, you know, to question it, they want this thing done. They, you know, they're like, listen, what are you messing around for, you know? So after the Crimean Bridge was blown up, I think his generals got a hold of him and said, listen, we got to, like, you know, let these people know that we're not going to tolerate this. And so they brought out, even then, I think it was restrained. I mean, you know, but they did hit a lot of targets. And it was a warning shot because, you know, under Putin's early, you know, operations and this whole thing, he's been jabbing and poking and whatever else. And his generals have said, okay, it's time for, you know, George Foreman to, you know, unleash his right hand at least once. But George Foreman's got a lot more punches to go. And you would have thought that what happened in Ukraine would bring them to their senses and say, okay, we need to negotiate. But again, they're just doubling down. And you think, why don't the Ukrainian people think, demand that this little reprobate scumbag Zelensky sit down and negotiate with Russia? But that's the worrying thing. They just keep doubling down. The rhetoric's always doubling down. And by the way, in the end, that's how all wars, unless it does escalate into a complete, you know, nuclear nightmare for the whole world, because it will be a world war. And Putin has said that. He said it's not going to be, you know, something regional. Everybody, there's no countries in the world which will escape this once it starts. And you would think, you know, in the end, most wars are ended in negotiations, because people have a great appetite for a war at start, because they have, you know, they have their resentments and everything else. But the misery and the suffering and the reality of war has a way of kind of diminishing your enthusiasm. And if this clown, this little reprobate scumbag Zelensky, cared about Ukraine, or if anybody actually really cared about Ukraine, they would have negotiated with Putin at the start, and they would have more territory. If they had negotiated at the start, Putin wouldn't have those most recent regions. Putin now controls, or Russia now controls 20% of Ukraine. If they had sat down and spoke about it at the start and been reasonable, not only would their infrastructure still be intact, not only would they not be vulnerable to, if they keep provoking Russia, to being completely obliterated, because Russia can do that. They've got a lot more of those weapons, and they can hit more infrastructure targets. They can kill Vladimir Zelensky if they want. I think they know where he is. They can destroy Kiev. They can completely destroy Russia or Ukraine if they want. So it makes sense. Well, I'm a little bigger man, I'm beginning a teen. If you score a more, I'm a little lily green. And I know I'm from the leafy, from the basin to the zoo. And I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
They can hit more infrastructure targets. They can kill Vladimir Zelensky if they want. I think they know where he is. They can destroy Kiev. They can completely destroy Russia or Ukraine if they want. So it would make sense to learn the lesson. Okay, we've lost a significant amount of territory. Russia is not backing down. Why don't we sit down and talk before the bleeding gets any worse? Let me give you an example. In 1997, the British government sat down and negotiated with the IRA. Okay. If they had done that in 1969, the amount of suffering and the amount of death and destruction and misery in Northern Ireland, where I came from, would have been avoided. But that's eventually where it ended up. It went on for 4 decades. So I know from my own personal life, I watched bombs going off. There was a bar, a pub where I lived, or near where I lived, where loyalist gunmen went in at Halloween, said trick or treat, opened fire, and killed 23 people, and injured another, life-changing injuries to about another 20 of those people who were just sitting having a drink. And that was in, I think, 94. None of those things would have happened if they'd have negotiated before that. So this is where it always ends up anyway. These conflicts become too painful for people. People get drained by them. It's not normal for human beings to live in this kind of environment. As I say, the appetite for it diminishes pretty quickly. It's all well and good being enthusiastic and sticking your chest out at the start, but eventually, you know, you're a human being, and there's only so much suffering and misery and pain you can take. So
the whole thing's insanity, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so mentioning why the Ukrainians aren't demanding negotiations or whatever, maybe you could try to make the case that it's the same on both sides of the front line, but certainly on the Ukrainian side of the front line, there's obviously a lot of fear in the population, because people who early on were identified as suspected of having pro-Russian sentiments, they were taped to flagpoles. They had, not flagpoles, they were taped to, like, electric posts. They had flags rammed into their rectums in some cases. They had their pants down, women with their bare bottoms sticking out. I don't know what was being done to them. But, you know, you had this, you've had a complete clampdown on political dissent and, any potential opposition media. That's all happened.
I thought that only happens in Russia.
Right. Now in Russia, okay, so you've had, these four referenda I know. You've had these four referenda in these, formerly Ukrainian provinces. And, you know, I think the interesting one is the one in Kherson, which, voted maybe, it was less than 90%. It was 80 something percent for union with Russia. Well, that means that you had, over 10% of the population or the vote, or the electorate that felt, that A, opposed union with Russia, and B, wasn't afraid to at least vote for it. They felt confident that they could vote for it without, or vote against union without repercussion. And I think in Zaporozhye, there might have been passed by with 92% support. Well, 92%, that's still a significant number of people, a minority, but still a significant number of people who didn't feel fear in opposing it. Now, maybe people would have felt fear in, publicly campaigning against it that week. I can't say that much, but still, so you've got that in Ukraine. I want to get back just briefly to the nuclear issue. So, you know, I emphasized and explained why, the use of tactical nuclear weapons by Russia is not something that they would consider. Why are we talking about it so much? Why is it getting talked about so much? And it keeps coming from the West. It keeps coming from, oh, he's going to use tactical nuclear weapons without any indication, that he is, and without any rationale for
I'll push back a little bit on that, because Putin, I think Putin does need to shut up about using them, because he does talk about using them as well, if we're under threat and we're this and we're that.
No, that's not tactical. He's not saying if we're under threat, we're going to set off a small nuclear weapon against a tank division in Ukraine. He's talking about a massive nuclear exchange.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think lots of people over the past decades, many decades, have wrapped their minds around. Maybe a lot of people unwrap their minds, but what a world, nuclear World War III would be. And he's saying, if you push us, you're going to get nuclear World War III.
And again, this little reprobate Zelensky who demands, billions. And this guy, if anybody hasn't watched Tucker Carlson, I think last night, and I'm so glad that Tucker pushed back with, without restraint on this guy. He was calling for nuclear weapons to be used against Russia. I mean, who does this guy has to be the biggest ego, the most delusional little words I can't use, Patrick, on air. But, and I could sense that, even Tucker Carlson wanted to use certain words, on air, but restrained himself. But he's the guy that's been calling for nuclear weapons, in addition to billions and more billions and more billions from the American people. Like, he has some, entitlement to this sort of thing. I mean, this guy, he's just, there's words can't describe, but it's not surprising, of course, that this guy is also a Jew.
Yeah. Yeah. So getting back to my point, why why do you get all of these accusations that he's going to be using tactical nuclear weapons, small nuclear weapons on the battlefield in Ukraine, when there's no indication that he is or that he would want to? And
or
that
needs to.
Or needs to. And I don't mean to be conspiratorial, but if you establish that narrative, if you establish in people's mind, in the mind of people in the West, that this is something that he might do, then you've set up a scenario whereby you could have potentially a false flag nuclear explosion.
Of course, and that's the problem, because they're conditioning people for it. They're even doing little promo videos about how to protect yourself in a nuclear explosion. This is the worrying thing. I mean, all the West has to do is set off a tactical nuclear weapon in London or New York or whatever else, and that's it. Boom.
Not even London or New York, but in some Ukraine. Village in Ukraine that is alleged to be a battle zone.
Yeah.
And there he uses tactical nuclear weapons. You say, there was a tank formation there or whatever. And you've conditioned people to believe it.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why it's so scary, really, because we know what these people are capable of. They're capable of anything. As I said before at the start, they're desperate. So they might just bring the whole tent down, you know?
Yeah. So, I wonder, because there doesn't seem to be any real way that the Ukrainians are going to win on the battlefield. And, you can look at things from the point of view of the country. Why would Ukraine want to continue in a war that it can't win? But you also have to look at individuals. We in political science, this was called level of analysis. Are you looking at the state? Are you looking at individuals? Are you looking at the international system? These were levels of analysis, and you have to sometimes look at the individual level of analysis. For Zelensky, how is there a way to back out of this? How is there a way to negotiate a settlement for Zelensky personally? How can he do that?
Sometimes what frustrates me is that this whole thing is conducted in a scenario in a landscape of mass destruction. It frustrates me a little bit because the IRA almost killed Margaret Thatcher.
Mm-hmm.
You're not talking about the Russian Federation. You're talking about a bunch of Irish guys who got together, mostly in Northern Ireland, got organized, used their brains, and terrorized the hell out of the might of the British, and including the SAS, by the way, who are revered as, by the way, Douglas MacGregor said the SAS conducted the, as far as he knows, conducted the strike on the Crimean Bridge. So you're talking about guys from Northern Ireland, where I grew up.
The Secret Service? What's the SAS?
Oh, no, it's the British Special Forces.
Okay.
You understand? It's not the military. The SAS is like they conduct special forces operations, and they're involved in infiltrations and all sorts of operations which are part of the intelligence forces of the British establishment. The American equivalent would be I think MI5. These people.
Mm.
The military operation of MI5, the SAS would be the military operation, or not MI5, but the CIA. So it's the special operations forces that go in. They're not operating like the military. They're operating like almost like militia groups. So, paramilitary organizations. It's all secret, the SAS. I'm trying to think what the American equivalent of the SAS is. I know who they are.
We got Green Berets, we've got SEALs, we've got
it'd be more like the Green Beret types. The elite Rangers. Special forces groups.
Uh-huh.
Now, so the IRA dealt with these people.
they killed some of the SAS. They infiltrated them. And they give as good as they got with these people. Why can't the Russians identify a handful of people in the United States who are causing all the problems and take them out? Why can't they do that? If they recognize they're at war, everything's off. Anything's fair game. If you're talking about, you know, nuclear exchanges or just like obliterating countries and whatever else, I just don't really understand. And surely they can infiltrate the CIA, for example. I don't know. I mean, I think the Irish did this. They almost killed the Prime Minister of Britain. They actually almost did it. They blew up her next door. The bomb slightly missed. But they knew who they were targeting. So why can't the Russians do this?
I think there are reasons why they wouldn't do that. And it may be harder. It may be harder than you think. I mean, when you're talking about the IRA, maybe they didn't want to think of themselves as being a domestic group. Maybe they didn't want to think of Northern Ireland as being part of the UK, but it was part of the UK. And, whereas, if you're talking about Russia and the CIA, these are completely, you know, opposing international forces. So, you know, there's that. There's also the aspect of, you know, Russia, it hasn't even declared war, and it hasn't even technically or legally upgraded the special military operation. They're still calling this a special military operation, not a counterterrorism action, and certainly not an international war. They're not even using that terminology. But the main thing is that Russia, part of the restraint that they have shown is not necessarily due to their own lack of or their own timidity or anything. It is because of the necessities of diplomacy. Because, just getting back to what I keep saying, the overarching war is the economic war. The whole idea was to regime change Russia by creating an economic collapse. Well, the economic collapse didn't happen because they were able to get all of these huge Asian and other countries to not go along with the sanctions. But, you know, that isn't a given. And if they started crossing certain lines, if they started assassinating American or other leaders, or maybe even Ukrainian leaders, if they started trying to assassinate those leaders, it might be harder for a Moti to stand by Russia
Do you think they care? I mean, they know that it's a small group of people who are causing the problems. Is it in their interest to care? I don't think so.
I think we're still there. Yeah, no. I mean, China hasn't openly declared any kind of hostility towards Jewish power.
No, but my point is, if these people were taken out, just a hypothetical situation, rather than mass slaughter of innocent people, are China going to say, "Oh, we're really upset with you, Russia"? Or are India, say, "We're going to be upset with you because you've taken out a group of people who are actually causing the problem"? It's a very small group of people. It could be less than 20 people who are pushing all this. No one else wants it. No one in Russia, certainly not in Europe, because it has wide, you know, implications for the Europeans. We could be obliterated, no problem. I don't think anyone would care.
I think had they done things like this 6 months ago or 3 months ago, that they wouldn't have had the same kind of diplomatic success that they've had. Now, the situation changes. I don't think they could have annexed these four regions. They've gone ahead and annexed these four regions. I don't think they could have annexed these four regions 6 months ago or 3 months ago, but the situation's changed enough that they feel that they can. And perhaps, maybe over the coming months, it might change to the extent that things that they don't feel they could do today, they might feel like they could do. But, you know, countries are like, look at India. India's got a separatist movement within its own country. And, India is a big society. And, if they were to support the assassination of foreign leaders, does that make their own leaders more susceptible to assassination by foreign secret, you know? And so there's a lot of things that go into it. I do think that Putin's restraint has, to at least a certain extent, been a factor or a result of the need to maintain support from these trading partners who have refused to go along with sanctions.
Yeah. No, I think the point I was making is that if you recognize either officially or otherwise you're at war.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Need to maintain support from these trading partners who have refused to go along with sanctions.
Yeah. No, I think the point I was making is that if you recognize either officially or otherwise that you're at war, then if you could reduce that war to your intelligence forces and identifying who the real culprits are, who really are pulling the strings, no matter what country it is, then to me it would make more sense than mass destruction of people and, you know, and infrastructure and everything else. I don't know. It's just something I kind of ponder on. I find it interesting because, you know, maybe my background in Northern Ireland, because the IRA weren't like the official Irish or Northern Irish army, but they carried out what they did, through paramilitary, methods and infiltrating the British, you know, establishment and the British intelligence services and things like that. And they pulled it off because they did bring the British, to the table is what I'm saying. So it's just something that fascinates me. I reflect on it as to why these big wars have to happen. You know, you've completely like World War II where you have Europe destroyed and millions of people destroyed and killed and left destitute and stuff like that. So it's just something I reflect on, you know.
Mm. So yeah, and we had massive wars that got started in 1914 and 1939 if you're on the European continent. And I guess you might make the counterfactual that, well, we didn't have massive wars that started in, you know, 1962 over Cuba, or 1979 or 78 over, I guess 78, there was some border skirmish between China and the Soviet Union. So I don't know. One thing is there are certain actions that if you're going to take them, they better be a knockout blow, because otherwise maybe you've made things more difficult for yourself. If you had like an assassination attempt against top officials in the United States, what if it's not a knockout blow? You know, what if Victoria Nuland, or I mean, I don't know who's targeted, Victoria Nuland and who
Jake
do you target?
Sullivan, Joe Biden. Jake Sullivan.
Yeah, well, then what happens? Do they just get
Joe Biden?
Does Victoria Nuland?
They're much. The replacements are much less likely to be bold if they think they're that vulnerable. That's the thing. I mean, you know, it's just like, oh, we'll go in there and replace them. But not everyone has this ideology. You're talking about a very small group of people. If you take them out, it changes things. But, listen, now, I got to be very careful with what I'm saying here. I'm talking, you know, hypothetically.
You're talking hypothetically. We're not proposing
anything. I'm just talking about.
This is the exact same kind of conversation that people could be having in international relations classes, and I've witnessed throughout my academic career this type of hypothetical conversation. But at any rate, we are at the end of our hypothetical show. Is there any final comments you want to make before we go?
No, you know, it's great to speak to you as always, Patrick. And I'd like to, if you could join me on Sunday, that would be great. I'm going to do a little round table with Euro guy over here in the UK who we spoke to a couple of months ago. So if you're free on Sunday, we'll do that for my show.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Happy Columbus Day. I'm Peter Serafine, and this is today's Liberty Minute. Yes, I said Columbus Day. Christopher Columbus challenged the science of his time and was right. He did not fall off the edge of a flat earth. Instead, he charted the path to the New World, a pioneer worth celebrating. Columbus's daring journey into the unknown should be recognized as proof that science is never settled. Science should always be questioned and challenged, and anyone who says that the science is settled clearly does not understand the basic principles of science itself. Facts can only maintain their factual status if they are routinely questioned and challenged. To be fair, the indigenous people of the Americas deserve celebration too. Maybe there should be a National Indigenous Peoples Day, but it should not replace Columbus Day. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.